But all right. So we're in Genesis, and we're getting into some messy territory. People in the back, Zaire, Danny. We're getting into some messy territory in Genesis. We're getting some messy territory. So last week we talked about Abraham and Sarah, and we talked about their new names. If you were here last week, we talked about Abraham and Sarah, and they got new names. Abraham, right, was the father of many, and Sarah, the princess, right? And we talked about the significance of their names and the significance of being children of God. And we had really great small group discussions, I think, and we got to have those lists about who God says that we are, right? And so God has promised Abraham and Sarah, he has promised them that they're going to have a son, even though they're super old. Like, they are both 90, 100 years old, around there. And God's like, I'm going to give you a son. And they both, like, don't believe it at all. Okay, they even laugh because they think it's a joke. And so God comes again. Actually, God comes with two angels this time, and he comes to Abraham, and he shows up at Abraham's place, and he's like, Abraham, Sarah is going to have a son. And actually Sarah laughs this time. And then God goes, Sarah, you just laughed? And Sarah says, no, I didn't laugh. And then God says, you did laugh. And then it's the end right there. And then all of a sudden, isn't that kind of weird? It's kind of funny. But then all of a sudden, there's just this change in the story. Okay, then God and his two angels, they leave Abraham's house in Genesis 18. They leave Abraham's house, and they look down on this place called Sodom and Gomorrah and these other cities. Okay, and they're looking on these cities because they have this plan to kind of destroy the cities, because in Sodom and Gomorrah and these other cities, there's nothing but evil. There's evil people. There's evil things going on. And so God and his two angels are looking down, and they're like, we got to destroy the city. We got to get rid of these cities. Because even in verse 20 of chapter 18, it says, the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and their sin is very grave. Like, God hears this outcry of these people who have been harmed by other people in the city and taken advantage of by those people in the city. And God hears that outcry, and God says, okay, we need to make things right. And so he goes with his two angels, and he says, we gotta destroy the city. We gotta get rid of these evil people. So, well, we're gonna read a little more about that. So God sends his two angels to go into the city and to scout it out, kind of, to see if Sodom really is as evil as he hears that it is. Okay, but so as God's two angels go to the city, Abraham is still standing with God. And today we're gonna read, that's where we are today, okay? We're gonna read about Abraham as he's standing with God, and Abraham's interaction with God about the cities that are going to be destroyed. So we're gonna read just a few verses from Genesis 18. It's verses 16 through 21, okay? Or 20, verses 22 to 33. Sorry, 22 to 33. So listen as I read Abraham, who's talking to God as God is going to destroy the city, okay? So the men turned from there, as the men are standing with God. And the men turned from there, and they went toward Sodom. But Abraham still stood before the Lord. Then Abraham drew near and said, will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just? And the Lord said, if I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake. So just quick break. Abraham is here, and he's like, God, what if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Are you going to destroy the whole city? And God's like, okay, Abraham, if I find 50 righteous people in the city, I'll spare the whole city. I won't destroy it. Okay, but then it goes on. Abraham answered God and said, behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the city for lack of 5? And God said, I will not destroy it if I find 45 there. And again, Abraham spoke to him and said, suppose 40 are found there. God answered, for the sake of 40, I will not destroy the city. Then Abraham said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 are found there. And God answered, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And Abraham said, behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there. And God answered, for the sake of 20, I will not destroy the cities. Then Abraham said, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak again but this once. Suppose 10 are found there. And God answered, For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. And the Lord went his way when he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this passage, even as maybe it's a little difficult to understand and read, and even as we're just going to learn one little thing from it today. Help us to see just your greatness and glory and power and mercy for your people and for the earth. We thank you for your love for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, again, another disclaimer. We're in this one passage, but this passage goes in within a bigger passage. So when you go home, read Genesis. Read the whole Genesis, but really read from the birth of Isaac to after, to like Genesis 20 or 21, when Isaac is actually born. Because you'll be able to learn so much, not just what we're going to talk about today, because we're going to just take one little thing and learn about it today, but there's so much you can learn just from reading and rereading this passage. All right? All right. I want to talk about birthdays for a second, okay? Because birthdays are the best, right? You like birthdays? Yeah. What? We celebrated our birthdays, yeah. But you know what? I was thinking about birthdays, and I was like, it's not just like our own birthdays that are the best, but sometimes like other people's birthdays, like other people having birthdays is like really good for us, right? Because like when someone else has a birthday, you get invited to their birthday party, you get to eat like delicious food usually, you get to have like nice cake. You're like a beneficiary of their birthday, right? Because it's their birthday, you get good things. And I remember actually when I was like 5 or 6 years old, it was my older brother's birthday, and he was turning... When's my birthday?
Next Wednesday.
Coming up. When I was 5 or 6 years old, it was my older brother's birthday. Beverly, this is important though. And my older brother, we all got Game Boys for like the Christmas beforehand. If you know what a Game Boy is, it's like a little small thing, like a DS kind of. But, and my brother got all these games for his Game Boy. And he also got this like super sick like carrying case. It was like a satchel, and you could put your Game Boy in there and like all your games in there. The Game Boy Advance.
No.
Oh, Titus. It was Titus's birthday. I did get Pokemon Leaf Green.
That's the best Pokemon.
But on my brother's birthday, he got this cool satchel. And my younger brother and I were looking at his satchel, and we were like, oh man, I wish we had that. And all of a sudden, my mom comes around the corner with two satchels for me and my younger brother. And just because it was my older brother's birthday, it was like birthday favors, like party favors, you know? Like, it wasn't even my birthday, but it was my older brother's birthday, and I got, like, the blessings of his birthday, you know? No. If you were listening, Gabby.
Yeah, Gabby.
It was a party favor. So we got, like, the Game Boy satchels as well. Yeah.
But then the birthday won't feel as special.
No, it did definitely feel special. So because it was, like, on behalf of someone else having a birthday, like, my younger brother and I were blessed, right? And I think that's kind of slightly what Abraham, that's what's going on in this passage a little bit. Abraham is like, God wants to destroy this city, okay? There's different calculations of how many people like lived in these cities. It could be thousands, it could be tens of thousands. No one really knows, okay? But there are a good amount of people in the city, and God wants to destroy it because of these evil people in these cities. And Abraham goes to God, and he's like, what if there's like 50 righteous? What if there's 50 good people there? Are you going to destroy the whole city? Like, surely you won't do that, right? And God says, okay, if there's 50 righteous people, I'll spare the whole city. And then Abraham is like, okay, but what if there's 45? And God's like, okay, 45. And then Abraham says, what if there's 40 righteous people? And God's like, okay, 40. And then Abraham is like, okay, how about 30? And God's like, all right, 30. And then he goes, 20? And then God's like, okay, 20. And then Abraham, one last time, he's like, don't be mad. Let me speak one more time. 10? Righteous people? And God says, okay, if there are 10 righteous people, I will spare the whole city. Yes. Yes. Then God walked away after that. But he said, yes, if there's 10 righteous people. And so Abraham is like, hey, if there are 10, finally, he's like, if there's 10 righteous people, if there's 10 good people in the city, like, don't destroy the whole city. Let everyone be a beneficiary of this blessing. Okay, have mercy on the whole city. Kind of like birthday, other people's birthdays, right? But, you know, this kind of makes me think about, like, group projects. If you've ever been in a group project, it makes me think about this, too.
That's the story about it.
Right? As long... Usually, usually, as long as there is one, like, goody two-shoes in the group project is going to get done. Right? Right? As long as there's someone in the group. What'd you say?
It's just someone who doesn't want to get a failure.
Yeah, a goody two-shoes.
I'm sorry.
No, no, that's a better way to put it. That's a better way to put it. Hey, Zaire. I'm going to move one of you. In a second. In a second. In a second. Not yet. Not yet. You're good. You're good. But you're good. But as long as there's like one person that wants a good grade in the group, you're going to get a good grade because no matter what, that person is going to pick up the slack of everyone else, right?
Probably.
And so maybe in your life, maybe you've been in a group project before where you've been that person who's like, I don't want to fail. And even though other people aren't doing their work, I'm going to do the work. Or maybe you've been the person who's lazy and it just relies on the other person to do the work and just rely on them, right?
That is 100%. That is 50% maybe.
Right.
All projects.
Mm-hmm. But it also...
Exactly.
That's part me.
This also...
Remember what happened at critique day?
That's right.
Yeah,
me. Okay. Silence, kiddos.
Alright, we're done here.
Listen up.
All right, this also makes me think of one more thing. All right, this makes me think about this time when I was in middle school. Okay, and we were at recess, and there were just tons of kids not doing what they were supposed to be doing. They're going off to places they weren't supposed to be, doing things they weren't supposed to be doing, and so because of that, for the rest of the week, our gym teachers and our recess leaders made us do yoga in silence in the gymnasium. For the rest of the week. And it was terrible because you couldn't talk. It was like little middle schoolers doing yoga. It was terrible. But it was like because of like three or four or five kids who weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing, everyone had the punishment because of it, right? Like all of that is kind of what's going on here. Because either Abraham's like, well, God was like, I'm going to destroy the city, right? Because of these bad people, even if there are good people. But then Abraham's like, no, if there's good people, don't destroy it. Like that, let everyone have mercy on the whole city, right? There's all of that going on, okay? And this is what Abraham says to God, okay? In verse 25, Abraham says, "Far be it from you, God, to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked." That would be like someone saying to the gym teachers, "Don't. That's not fair for you to punish all the kids on behalf of like the good kids."
That's what they do, though.
No, listen. But then far be it, fare as the wicked. And then Abraham says, "Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just? Right? Abraham's like, God, it's not fair to destroy the whole city and destroy good people on behalf of evil people, right? And so God kind of bargains with him. He says, okay, 20 people, 10 people, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so in displaying his justice and mercy, says, okay, Abraham, I'm not going to destroy the good on behalf of the bad. And then even more, he goes to a bigger point. He says, I won't even destroy the city at all as long as there are 10 good people. Like, on behalf of the good people, actually, I will let that blessing roll over to the rest of the evil people, like, because of the good people there, right? It's not just like God is like, okay, I'll just destroy the bad people. But God says, okay, I'll have mercy on the whole city if there are just 10 righteous people. It would be like my gym teacher saying, you know, those kids were bad, but because of all these good kids, we're just going to let you keep everyone keep having recess, right? Kind of silly example.
Can't do it.
But we're going to think. So we're going to think about this. What can we take away from just this little point in passage today? There's so many other things we can take away from this passage, but two simple kind of things that we can take away from this passage are these two things. The first thing is that God loves justice. Okay, God loves justice, and so should we, right? Like I said before, God heard the cry of the people in Sodom. There's this cry of these people who are like, God, the people have treated us so unfairly here. They've taken advantage of us. They've hurt us. And God hears the cry of these people, and he says, I'm going to make it right. I'm going to make it right. I'm going to put away what's evil. I'm going to destroy it. And actually, if you read on into Genesis 19, the next chapter, what happens is God doesn't find 10 righteous people. He finds maybe four. Maybe four. Okay, in the Old Testament in Genesis, maybe four. Mm-hmm. More likely, I mean, maybe one.
Two and a half.
It's messy. That's why you should go read the rest of it. But God doesn't find 10, and so he destroys the city of Sodom. He destroys all the evil that is there because God wants to make right what is wrong. God cares about justice. He cares about those who have been taken advantage of, those who have been hurt. He hears their cries, and he says, I'm going to make that right. I'm going to make what is wrong right. And he destroys what is evil. And so it makes me ask the question, if God loves justice like this, if God cares about really making things right and destroying what is evil, how can we love justice like God loves justice, right? How can we put away evil? And one simple thing I thought of is like, all the time in high school, I remember standing with friends, probably you hang out with your friends all the time, right? Even in school. And sometimes probably your friends say something about someone else or say something to someone else directly to their face. And one simple way that we can love justice is by standing up for those who our friends are hurting. And that's a difficult thing to do, right? To say to your friends, hey, that was wrong what you did. And go and actually check on the person and say, hey, how can we make this right? I know I didn't say this to you, but it was super wrong what my friend said or did to you, right? And that's hard because we want to be accepted by our friends. It's hard sometimes to love justice because sometimes that means going against what other people are doing, right? Or so it can be taking a look at the world around you, and not just like in those situations, but taking a look at the world around you and seeing what is wrong, seeing how people are taken advantage of and treated poorly, and pursuing those people and trying to make things right. It can mean that. But also loving justice also means taking a look at yourself, taking an honest look at yourself and seeing the ways that we fall short, seeing the ways that you fall short, seeing maybe the ways that you see pride in yourself, thinking that you're better than others, saying things that show kind of that you are better than others and saying, God, I need to be transformed. Like, humble me, show me that, like we talked about tons of weeks ago, that you made everyone in your image. Everyone is loved and valued by you, right? It can be like that, or it can be taking a look at yourself and just seeing maybe the greediness inside of you, like, oh, I just want more and more and more, and asking God to transform you to someone who actually is more generous and giving out of a heart of, because you know you've been given much, because you know how much God loves you, right? Or it even just means taking a look, loving justice even means just taking an honest look at yourself, what you say, what you do, what you think, and being honest about where those things actually making a world more whole and loving and full of the love of God and Jesus, or was it actually something that was tearing others down and hurting them and making things actually more broken and wrong? And taking a look at an internal look at yourself and saying to really love justice means that we all need to be transformed as well, and asking God to transform us into people who are humble and loving and more like Jesus. Right? So God loves justice, and we should too. Okay, but also the second thing is that God loves mercy. Okay, God loves mercy, and so should we. All right? Right? Even though there's so many evil people in this city, in Sodom, right? As Abraham pleads with God, as he bargains with God, as Asher said, he's learning all about bargaining. Like, as Abraham pleads and bargains with God, God is like, okay, Abraham, if there are 10 good people, I will have mercy on the whole city. If there are 10 good people, I will have mercy on thousands. And that just shows that God is a God of mercy. He loves mercy, right? And I think something we need to know is that us pursuing justice without mercy is incomplete. If we pursue justice and we have no desire or need for mercy, we're incomplete. If we love justice so much, but we don't have any grace or mercy, we can actually become just kind of bullheaded and mean and prideful and controlling, saying, oh, you did something wrong, I'm going to go after you and make sure everything's right. I don't know if you've seen Les Mis, but there's a guy named Jean Valjean, and he steals this loaf of bread, and he's in prison. And there's this guy, I forget his name, but he's chasing Javier. Yeah. Javier. He's chasing Jean Valjean his whole life because he can't let go. Like, Javier can't let go of justice. Like, he needs to make things right. Even the little things right. He needs to make every single thing right. And he can't let go of it. And it just makes him the super controlling and prideful and just bullheaded. He has one idea in his head, and he's going to complete that to make things right. And he has no idea for, what'd you say? Catch me if you can. He was like,
John Donovan. I had a musical at my school, like an intro, introduction of it, but I never got to
Oh, of the,
the actual musical because it was at night, but it was like an assembly for like an introduction. So I only saw like what's it about.
Yeah. Well, you should definitely, if you ever get a chance to watch it, you should watch it. All right, because it's a good movie and
cop,
play.
Just,
yeah, he chases him and he can't stop. Right, that's all he is.
But just wants to live his life.
But this is the point I'm trying to make. To really move with God, we have to love mercy, and even we maybe even have to love mercy more than we actually love justice, in a way. Because you know, in Matthew, Jesus says this. He says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." He says that in Matthew 5:7, as he's speaking to these crowds. He says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." And then in the book of James, it actually says this in James 2:13. James says this, "For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy." James says, for those people who don't show mercy, you're going to be judged without mercy. Right? So he says, "For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy." And then he says this. This is really important. "Mercy triumphs over judgment." Mercy triumphs over judgment. So yes, God is just. He cares about making things right. He cares so much about making what is wrong right, of destroying evil, putting it away. But really, he is so merciful. God is just, but he is so, so merciful. And this is just made apparent in this passage and throughout Scripture. God says, if there are only 10 good people, thousands will be saved in this passage. And we're going to talk in small group a little bit more about other passages in the Bible where God shows mercy. All right? So ultimately, this is the kind of last thing I want to hit on. Ultimately, God shows his mercy for us in Jesus. All right? Jesus is God himself, and he had all the power in the world to overthrow those who were against him. As he was on the cross, as he was being tortured, Jesus had all the power to just put all of them away, to destroy them, and to rise up. But he put it aside. He put his power aside for the sake of mercy. Jesus lays his life down when he didn't have to. That's what Jesus did. He endured unthinkable pain and torture and humiliation and even death, all out of mercy, all out of grace and mercy, so that he could show that the real path to life, to a meaningful, rich, and full life is mercy. It's not us trying to do everything right or make everything right and us trying to be kind of bullheaded with justice and say what you... being mean to those around us who are angry, but it's actually have mercy. And it's the mercy of Jesus that he has for us. The mercy of Jesus that he has for each and every one of you. That is the path to real, rich, full life. It's one man, Jesus. And you know what? As I was reading this passage, it was like, Abraham was like, if there are 10 good people, can you please spare like this whole town? And really what Jesus does in Jesus, on what God does in Jesus, on behalf of one person, the whole world is offered a life, a rich, meaningful life, abundant life to billions of people, billions of messy, broken, worn down, even evil people. God offers life to in Jesus. So I just want to finish with this. On behalf of one man who is Jesus, you are offered the blessing of a rich, meaningful, abundant life. Because of mercy, you are offered this life. And because you have received mercy, because we have received mercy, you can actually move with God in God's way of mercy. And so just as we go break into small groups, and as you're going to school tomorrow, think about this question. As you go to school tomorrow, okay, how can you move with God and mercy? As you go to school tomorrow, how can you move with God and mercy? Think about that tonight and tomorrow as you go to school. All right, let's pray. God, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your justice. We thank you that you care about making what is wrong right. But we also thank you for your mercy that even though probably what we deserve is to not be able to really know you or be friends with you because we are broken and messy and sinful and even evil at times. You show us mercy and you draw near to us and you love us and we thank you for this. So help us to love justice just as you love justice and help us to love mercy just like you love mercy. Even as we go wherever we're going tomorrow, to work or school or errands or sports, help us to always be asking this question. Help us to remember this question. How can we move with you in mercy? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.